May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 335. Poor angry bosom hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. Hymn 335. Our reading from God's holy word is from the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 9. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 9, commencing to read at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, A man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we do need thee now to draw near and to abide with us as we gather on this thy holy day. Oh, we pray that we may be as dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We pray for the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we might worship thee, the only true God, in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we pray that the world may be shut out, Satan kept far from us, and we be delivered from everything of the flesh and of our carnal minds, and may we be under the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, whether we speak or whether we hear. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for a true spirit of worship, that our hearts may be drawn heavenward, that we might truly worship thee. And, oh Lord, may it please thee to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And may we be favoured, Lord, in our souls to feel and to know thy presence within. And oh, may thy sweet presence be known within these walls, that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And oh, we would come desiring to see no man save Jesus only. Oh Lord, do speak to our souls, oh, that we might hear thy voice. For thou hast said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, may we hear this day the voice of the Good Shepherd, and that we may be given, Lord, grace to obey what thou dost speak. May we ever be as obedient children, obeying thy word, obeying thy commandments. But Lord, as we come, we would come confessing our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, we would be found at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading for that real heart repentance, Lord, which thou alone canst give, that we may be real mourners over our sins and after thee. We would pray with the hymn writer, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wandering minds reveal the secret love of God. Oh, do come and seal pardon, Lord, and peace to each sin-sick soul. Do sweetly assure us, Lord, that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray that thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this day. May none be empty sent away. May there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. Lord, thou canst grant it. We would pray with the psalmist, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Oh, how we need, Lord, those heavenly tokens of thy everlasting love. And we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt lift up any that are cast down and in a low place, that thou wilt set at liberty those that are bound. And knowest how Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But oh, we pray, dear Lord, that there may be many set at liberty from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan and of unbelief. Do loose thy people. And oh, that thou wouldst whisper those precious words, Lord, loose him and let him go. Oh, that there may be many in these dark days set free and at liberty. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Oh, we pray that thou wilt work, to work in any that as yet know thee not. May there be thy work appearing unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to call many by thy divine grace. May there be an awakening in this village and throughout this area of many sinners round to come and fill the place. May it be so in our own flock at home and throughout the south east, Lord, and throughout all this land, if it would please thee, that many may be brought to feel their great need of thee and of thy salvation. And O Lord, do bring back any prodigals, many a forsaken Zion's ways. And oh, we pray there might be a blessed return. For thou hast said, the ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion. And they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Oh, do in mercy, Lord, grant to us more and more faith. We seem so often plagued with unbelief. But oh, that we may have a grain of that living faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls, to take away all the unbelief that plagues us. And that we pray for faith to look wholly to thee, faith to trust in thee. And oh, that we may be blessed with that venturing faith to venture wholly upon them. And Lord, we do pray for those that are fearful that thou wilt take away all their fears. Grant them a fear not. And those, dear Lord, that may feel to be at the ends of the earth, oh, do help them and give them that faith to look alone to thee. For thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Oh, we pray to have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people. That thou art the author and finisher of our religion. May we not just grow up in the ways, Lord, of thy people and yet not know anything saving. But may we be truly taught of thee. Oh, do constrain others to follow thee if it would please thee in thy sweet commandments. Lord, thou alone canst make thy dear children willing. We pray thou wilt fulfil thy precious word, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And oh, that thou wast manifest thy power in these dark and solemn days. And oh, do command deliverance to those that need deliverance. Bless the dear children, Lord, and the little ones, we pray for the dear babes too. We thank thee for safely delivering Sarah and granting her and Tim another little son. We pray thy smile might rest upon them and thy blessing. And dear Lord, we pray for each of the dear children that thou wilt work in them while they're young in years. And oh, that thou wouldst fulfil in the families here and in our own that precious promise, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And oh Lord, do bless the Sabbath school and help the dear teachers, and may thy word enter into the hearts of the young, and may it be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. Do hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Keep them from this world and all its snares and dangers. And oh, do raise up from among them those that shall truly fear thy holy name and seek thee and serve thee. To be with the dear young people, help them to commit their way to thee, to cast their cares upon thee. Guide and direct them, Lord, in all the steps of providence and of grace. And may they follow on to know the Lord. Oh, do remember those in middle age with the many burdens and trials and concerns and exercises they have. Do undertake for them. And may they from time to time be enabled to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And oh, we pray for those in the evening time of life, Lord. Many of thy dear saints are in the evening time. We pray that they may prove thy sweet promise, that at evening time it shall be light. Prepare them and prepare us each for a vast eternity. O Lord, who bless this corner of thy vineyard, our own flock at home, and Zion at large. And may there yet be a gracious revival, and a building on. Who help thy dear servants, we pray for one in our own pulpit today. Thou wilt grant him, Lord, that anointing from heaven, that gracious liberty of the Spirit, and may he be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may each of thy dear servants be graciously helped, Lord, and that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. To have mercy upon the nation. And knowest, Lord, all that's taken place in this past week. And we pray, Lord, for our Prime Minister and all those that shall be appointed to government, Lord, and to the cabinet. And all that are in the House of Commons now, Lord, we pray that thou would put thy fear and grace in their hearts, that they may look wholly to thee, and that thou would come and guide and direct, and that this nation once again may be a nation that fears thy holy name. And I do overturn and overturn all the workers of iniquity and sin, and all those laws, Lord, that are contrary to thy word. And may we once again in this land be a sovereign nation and a nation that fears thy holy name. To hear the prayers of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And O Lord, do remember all that are persecuted and oppressed, and all we would pray for and should pray for, do appear for them in all their need. And do help the deacons here, Lord, and give them wisdom and grace, and do bless the hymns they give out. May there be those sweet times of flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Remember any that we should and would have prayed for. But Lord, do remember them. And Lord, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, a hearing ear for thy dear people. And oh, may we see no man save Jesus only. And do help us, dear Lord, to love and praise thee more, and bless thy holy name. We ask it, seeking the forgiveness of all our many sins, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 334. Behold, from the desert of sin, the world and the curse of the law, a fair one whose garments are clean does with her beloved withdraw. Retiring from thence she appears dejected and often complains, surrounded with sorrows and fears. Yet on her beloved she leans. Hymn 334.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, and verses 34 and 35. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, and verses 34 and 35. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Gospel according to Luke chapter 9. And verse 34 and 35. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Lord wonderfully brought these three disciples into that Mount of Transfiguration. We read, didn't we, in the lesson, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. That seemed to press so much upon one's heart, how he took them. They were not to go into this mount by chance. The Lord took them there. And he had a divine purpose in taking them there, that he might be transformed before them, and that they might be abundantly blessed. And here we read concerning these three dear men, they were to be much favoured, Peter and John and James, in that mount. It was the appointed lot for them to go into that mount at this time. It was those three that were so favoured in the previous chapter when the Lord Jesus was to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And we read then, "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden." So they were of a people, disciples of the Lord, especially to be favoured. And one's desire is that we might know a little of the blessing they were to be favoured with. Now, in that mount, we find there were two, Moses and Elias. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Now, they were there, Moses to represent God's holy law, and Elijah to represent the holy prophets of God. And we read, "Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." Their conversation was not about the law. Their conversation was not about the prophets. It was all that what the Lord Jesus was to accomplish at Calvary. This was their conversation, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And then we find they couldn't stand the abundance of the revelation and of the sacred atmosphere of the Mount, and Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. You see, we have to prove continually, and those that have known what it is to be abundantly blessed by the Holy Spirit will know that no flesh shall glory in his presence. He cannot stand in the presence of God. And these were poor men. We know, as we have said, they were to be richly favoured, but they were poor, sinful men, and they couldn't stand, and the flesh cannot. Do you know what it is? And some of you will know what it is to experience it. When you've had a real blessing from the Lord, maybe a pardon, peace and all his sweet and sacred presence, it wears the flesh completely out. I remember when I first went in the ministry, dear Mr. Jupp, you know how loving and gracious a man he was, he prayed particularly for me, that the Lord would help me in the times when I felt in bondage. But he said, Lord, do particularly help him when he's at liberty and under the blessing, because then he will need it. You see, the flesh cannot stand in the presence of God. When we are really favoured like these dear men did, were, their poor minds couldn't understand it, they couldn't cope with it, the flesh couldn't, they were full of the blessing of heaven, and they went to sleep because the flesh couldn't stand it at all. They were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. It was good for them to be there because they were to know the sweet and sacred presence of their dear Redeemer. And not only this, the sweet communion they had with him, and the blessing they were to receive from him. And then he says, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And then the words of our text. Now these dropped in quite powerfully yesterday morning as I woke, thinking of the services today, and begging of the Lord he would give me a word to bring before you. And immediately the Lord dropped this word. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. You know, the clouds that come over the earth, and many of us are new dear children, will have seen many clouds in the last few weeks. Some have been ever so black and dark and threatening, brought much rain. Those clouds are all in the hands of the Lord as they come over the sky. They come at his command. No man can bring them. And you know, those of us that have travelled abroad and flown above them, there's a wonderful sight to look down on them. And they're all in the hands of the Lord and controlled by him. And so it is in the experiences of God's dear people, and it was with Peter and James and John. The time had come, a cloud was to overshadow them. And that cloud was sent by the Lord himself. And it may be, while the Lord has given me this word to bring before you, there are those of you that have got some clouds that overshadow you. And you cannot remove them. If the Lord has sent those clouds over you, which he will, from time to time, you cannot remove them, nor can any man remove them from the skies today, where the clouds are. But when you're in the cloud, there's a purpose of it in being in a cloud. You think of it first naturally. The cloud comes and it hides the sun from the earth. So you cannot feel the warmth of it like you do when the sun shines through. And there are times where a cloud will come upon you in your heart and in your pathway, and you cannot see your way. And you cannot feel the Lord's presence and the warmth of the Lord being with you as you do when you haven't got the cloud. But too, with these dear disciples and with each of God's dear children, the Lord has a purpose in it all. We sing in the hymn, don't we? His purpose is, will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And he goes on in that hymn, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Sometimes the cloud brings rain. Sometimes it brings much darkness, looking at it naturally, but look at it spiritually. When you're really in a dark cloud, it weighs you right down and burdens you and concerns you. And there are many clouds the Lord's dear people have. We think of a dear man a few years ago that came into the house of God with a great cloud over him. The great cloud of sin. The great cloud of unbelief. And the Lord gave me this text. And there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And he was right in that cloud. And he feared in it, and you may be, this morning. But you know, we read in Matthew's Gospel of the same account about the cloud being lifted up. And what did they see when the cloud was lifted up? No man save Jesus only. That's all they saw. And if the Lord lifts up this cloud like he did for that dear young man when I preach from this word, And as I mention those words, they saw no man save Jesus only. Right before him was a precious Jesus suffering in his room, place and stead. And he said the cloud just dispersed in a moment, was all gone. And he said, I was free. The great cloud of sin was removed. The darkness was gone. The sorrow. And what had he got? Liberty and peace. And he was overwhelmed with the joy. His dear wife and those around him wondered what had happened. Immersed in tears of joy. And there came a cloud and overshadowed them. Think of the word, and there came a cloud. It didn't come by chance. Nor is the cloud that you may have this morning come by chance. And there's another point I just want to briefly name in this. Those clouds you have are all balanced. There's a beautiful word, isn't there, in the book of Job in chapter 37, where we read, "Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds?" You look at the clouds in the sky, they're all balanced, you know. You don't see them fall into the earth, do you? We know there are times where they come very low with fog and so on. But they're all balanced. And dear Job, you know, in his pathway, and I don't have to go into all the details of it this morning, but you think of the cloud that he was in his soul. The darkness, because of the onslaughts of Satan, the temptations, and they were real. And then you think of the dark cloud he was in his family, those being taken from him by Satan under permission of heaven. And then you think of the cloud of his providential pathway. It was a dark cloud, you know, but that cloud was all balanced. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord balances it. And you know, here really, the Lord was to wonderfully balance it. That's why I read the second part of the text in the following verse. They got this cloud over them. But they feared as they entered into it. And it may be with you, with the cloud, I may not even name what it is, but you know and the Lord knows in your heart what that cloud is. For you're having to walk through. And it's only the Lord that can lift it up. And remove it. And the Lord was pleased to do that here, you know. Because we read, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." A voice came. Now you see, the voice came out of the cloud. One's mind went, as we sat in the vestry before the service, to that wonderful occasion when the Lord caused the flood to withdraw in Noah's day from the earth. And the Lord gave that wonderful promise, didn't he? To dear Noah. And we read this word, "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. But the point was this. You see, that bow was to be in the cloud. There was the token. And you think what a sight it was, or many of us have seen it just recently, and particularly we have at home, there's been some wonderful rainbows. Bows set but in the cloud. And where do you get the best bow? In the darkest cloud. Looking at it naturally. And here, you see, they came into the cloud, but that wasn't all. There came a voice out of the cloud. This is where the voice came from, out of that cloud. And it may be the Lord has brought you into this cloud, whether it's the cloud of sin or of unbelief or the clouds of opposition from Satan or in providence or in your own pathway or in the family. It's this cloud that overshadows you. My great concern in it is this, that there might be the voice of the Lord come out of that cloud. And what will that do? That'll balance the cloud for soul for you. You think of the Apostle Paul. He had a great cloud over him in the sense that he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Oh, he did. And it was a great cloud to him. You may have got a messenger of Satan that's buffeting you. Now, he had to come into that, you say. We know, as like these dear disciples, he'd been caught up into the third heavens and saw things not lawful to be uttered. But the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And it was to keep him down. And it may be, with your poor heart, that you've got this cloud to keep you down. He brought the apostle right down. But look at what happened. In that cloud, the Lord was pleased to speak to him, wasn't he? And he gave him that beautiful promise. And you think in your heart, if the Lord were pleased to speak it to you, or do you long for it? And what was it? My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know, that balanced the whole thing, didn't it? Oh, it did. Some of you may remember it, but it was a very wonderful thing. Some years ago now, it must have been back in the 1990s, I was due to preach here one week evening. And I came. And when I got here, I couldn't hardly speak at all. My voice had virtually completely gone. And I said to dear Mr. Ayres, I said, you know, I just cannot preach. And in the congregation was dear Mr. Hal Crowther. And he very kindly preached. He said, well, I'll preach if the Lord gives me a word to preach from. And he preached from that word, you know, I've never forgot it. My grace is sufficient for thee. There's one thing he said which I've never forgot. He said, the Apostle Paul was better with that burden, that cross, that cloud, than he was without it. Because in that cloud, in that cross, in that trial he was having to walk through, look at the blessing he received in it. Better with it than without it. And you see, it may be with this cloud that you may have got to die, whether it's in providence or in grace, that you're better with it than without it. Because you're better with it because it makes you more and more exercised, more and more concerned, more and more burdened, more and more at the throne of grace, pleading for the Lord's appearing. And being better with it than without it, you see, is a wonderful thing. It's contrary to nature, isn't it? Our flesh, yours and mine, if we know anything of our own old nature, it says, Lord, but take this cloud away. Take this burden from me. Take this cloud away. I cannot cope with it. And you can't yourself, and the Lord knows you can't. So what did he do for the apostle? He gave him something to balance it, you see. That wonderful promise, my grace is sufficient for thee. And under God's grace, he could bear the burden. He could bear the cross. He could bear the cloud. And you know, I often think back to that time when dear Mr. Crowther quoted that word. You know, it was so real to me. Because there's another point here, which the dear man brought out, if I remember rightly. It makes you dependent upon the Lord, you see. I know with all the voice trouble I've had over many, many years now, I know if the Lord fails me, I'm finished. But you see, it makes me utterly and totally dependent upon him, because like the doctors have said to me many times in the speech therapist, if you broke your leg, you could still preach. If you broke your arm, you could still preach. But it's the vital thing. And when the Lord touches the vital thing with us, you see, it comes home hard. Oh, it does. Think about Job. How could he bear it all? What does he say? But he knoweth the way that I take. Under that cloud, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me. I've often thought what a lesson there is in what he said there. When he hath tried me. He didn't say, Lord, take me out of it now, did he? Or remove this cloud from me. But when thou hast tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And there's faith in gracious exercise, you see. Believing that out of this trial, this cloud, you'll come forth with joy. And you look at the joy Job came forth with. And there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. There may be those of you this morning, you're so fearful in it. Lord, what will the issue be in it? Will I come out of it? Or will I be brought to confusion? Or will I be brought to nothing? And perish in it. And all the exercise, you see, and the burden. And you fear. What does the hymn writer say? Poor, fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever give thee aid and put the house of hell to flight. And you see, only the Lord can do it. He knows how fearful you are in it all. And think of what I quoted earlier, and dear Mr. Cowper knew it by experience. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds, ye so much dread, are big with mercy, and shall break in blessings on your head. And they feared. You may say, well, Peter and John and James, the favoured disciples, full of grace, and yet they feared. And does not that encourage you, poor soul, if such characters feared? This doesn't give us license to fear, does it? But, oh, how encouraging to the fearful of God's dear children. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. There was no going round the cloud. There was no trying to get out of it. They got to enter into it. And then we find that beautiful word, and there came a voice out of the cloud. It came out of it, you see. What they were in, and out of it was to come this voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. Precious words, aren't they? They are the same words that God the Father spoke at the baptism of the dear Lord Jesus. You know, that third chapter of Matthew is a very sacred chapter, isn't it? Of the baptism of the dear Redeemer. And there was the Lord of life and glory to be baptized by John. And then the voice from heaven. The seal, how wonderfully the Lord, if I may put it like that, sealed the whole matter. The voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then you see the wonderful seal too of the Holy Spirit descending in the bodily form of a dove, resting upon him. And here we have in this mount the same word spoken. This is my beloved son. But let's bring it home to us. You've got your cloud. You may be walking in it. But do you not long for the Lord to say to you personally, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter? You know, the Lord claims his dear children. Oh, he does. There's a beautiful word in the hymn where the hymn writer said, come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Now the Lord claims his dear children, and he claims them as his sons and his daughters. They're heirs of heaven, you see. And as he claimed his beloved son here, This is my beloved Son. How happy will your soul be in your cloud, whether it's your sin or whether it's your many clouds you're walking through of affliction or trial or bitter temptation. Him to say to you, my son. I remember in my teenage days I had a minor car accident, as man would say. No accidents. You see, we use the word accident, nothing comes by chance. There was much teaching in it. But I remember so clearly saying to the Lord, Lord, why has this come? Why have I got to enter into this cloud? And the Lord answered me in a moment, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. And I could see in it all correction, you see. But it too was so sweet, my son. And not only in that same thing, the Lord dropped those words of the dear hymn writer. Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true-born child of God must not, would not, if he might. You may say today, oh, but it'd be so different if I hadn't got this cloud. It may be the Lord in it is to sweetly assure you we are one of his dear children in that cloud. My son, my daughter. Well, may that desire be fervent in each of our hearts. And if it is, it may be I bring you into the cloud to speak to you, isn't it? To claim you as his portion. And what will your soul here lay claim to him? Oh, it will. My God, my Saviour. This is my beloved Son. But then he says these two words. Hear him. Like the hymn writer said, listen to what the Saviour says and seek for grace to follow that. Hear him. Are your ears in these clouds listening for him to speak? Hear him. Deep and profound words, really, and hear him. And when the Lord does speak, you see, there will be power with the word. There will be unction with it. There will be the blessed application of it. Hear him. Do exactly what he tells you, poor soul, in the cloud. If he tells you to stand still, you stand still in it. If he tells you to go forward, you go forward in it. Hear him. And may our ears be ever open to hear what the Lord would speak. Dear Mr. Sperling Tyler used to say, he said to me once, he said, you know, I tell my congregation, he said, not to bring all their burdens and trials and concerns to me. He said, I would willingly listen to them, it is true, but take them to the Lord and go up to the house of God and look for the answer. How many times have you, during the week, took your burdens and clouds and trials to the Lord and the things that exercise you? And you come up to the house of God here and you look for the answer. It may be just in the text. It may be one line in the sermon. It may be one line in the hymn. And the Lord answers it. Hear him. Listen to what the Lord would speak. Well, I must leave it, the time's gone. May the Holy Spirit apply this text to us. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." They're the words of the Lord, they're not mine. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day for our Needy Cases Fund amounted to £860, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. I have a copy of Perception left over. If I left anybody out, will you let me know, please? Let us close with hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Hymn 263.
you, Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys. Be with us through the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.